Well, welcome to Lives of Honorable Men. We'll get started in a moment. Give a few people a chance to get into the live webcast. Alrighty, let's get started. Last week, we began to talk about the three purposes of the church that Jesus laid out in Matthew's the 16th chapter. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew's 16th chapter and the 13th verse. We'll kind of briefly go over that again so we can pull out of there the three purposes of the church, and we'll actually begin to cover the three purposes in detail. Now, remember now, in the purpose of the church, it's going to change your religious thought process about church. Once again, this is the reason why we have to become God-centric rather than self-centric when it comes to the Word of God. When we do that, then we really begin to learn God's agenda. And so a lot of us have been coming to church so we can get a word for ourselves, so we can solve our problems. And we totally missed the purpose of the church. And so Jesus laid out the three purposes of the church in the 16th chapter of Matthew's. So let's read those again. Look at verse 18. Last week you read everything, and we talked about how revelation knowledge is the process by which the church is built. Revealed knowledge. And it's going to be very important you understand it, because remember, Peter discovered who Jesus was not by searching or not by his intelligence. Jesus said, when Simon Bar-Jonah said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said something very powerful to him. He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So that means Simon Bar-Jonah had tapped into, if you allow me to say, a well of information that everybody can't access. And so Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," wasn't talking about Peter rock, talking about the process, this rock, the process of, what is the rock? The process of us being able to download information out of the supernatural from the mouth of God and being able to add it to our intelligence and walk out. If there are instructions, walk them out. See, so Jesus said, that is how I'm going to build the church. And look what he said in verse 18. "And I will say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So the first point, first purpose of the church is that the church must be connected to heaven and reveal the Father. Now, how can you reveal the Father if we don't know what he's thinking and what he's saying? See, the church, that's what Jesus' whole point said. That's why this is how the church is going to be built, upon this rock, upon this process. The process of what? Being able to download information from the supernatural, from the mouth of God, and being able to execute it in the earth realm. That's how the church is going to be built. Watch this. The church that Jesus is building is connected to the flow of revelation from the Father. Notice that. It's not built from theology. Theology is the study of God. theology is the study of God. The church cannot be built on theology. It has to be built on revelation. Theology is what man has discovered about God. It's not necessarily what God is saying. Theology is good in its place, but when it comes to building a church, we have to deal with revelation knowledge. God the Father is the revealer. He is the revealer of what he wants. How can we do what the Father wants if he doesn't reveal it to us? So we have to see God as the revealer. Watch this. He is the connecting source of revelation. Pick that up. He's the connecting source of revelation. And watch this. The church is the place where God has a mouth in the earth realm. other words, God can only speak through the church. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. God can only speak through the church. So now if we're not connected to the revealer, and that means if we're not connected to the revealer, that means we got to make stuff up as we go. That's where denominations come from. Denominations come from when a full revelation stops, and then man has to begin to make up what they think God is saying. And so we got to make up our own rules. We have to make up our own belief system. And we have to make up what we need to do to corral the people and keep control of the people. But when a church, a true apostolic church, is connected to God, the revealer, that church will always be relevant, always have power, and always ready to make change in its community. This is what I said. That church will always be relevant, always ready to make change in the community, and always will have power. Why? Because they're connected to the revealer. They're connected to the Father, connected to his agenda. All right? The church, watch this, becomes the information highway and gateway from heaven to earth. Remember what I told you, the one of the purposes of the apostle, one of the characteristics of the apostle is to structure heaven to earth government. Why? So that the portals of the supernatural can be open, so that the people of God can access the other side. If we can't access the other side, then the Father cannot be revealed to the earth. Those that don't know that there's a God that exists, or put it like this, let's say it better. They may not know a God exists, or they may believe that a God exists, but they haven't had a chance to experience the God. They haven't had a chance to experience Jehovah. They haven't had a chance to experience the God that created the universe. He is revealed through us. Go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Turn it off right quick. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and we come back to Matthew's. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. I want to show you something. 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Watch this. Let's see. Watch this. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12. Watch this. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. So John was writing here and saying, hey, no man has seen God at any time. But when we walk in love, it is God being expressed through us. So how, watch this. What does it mean to walk in love? Now let's dig into this. What it means to walk in agape love, or the God kind of love. See, there are different types of love. The Greek had different types of words to describe. I don't know them all. I think it was five different love. I think one was eros. One was storge. Another one is agape. That's the God kind of love. Eros, the romantic love. Storge, I think, is the brotherly love or the friendship love. There are two. But the one we're focusing on is agape. And so we can't let agape get mixed up with storge. We can't let agape get messed up with eros. Agape, or the God kind of love, is not based on feeling. It is based on action. So let's prove John 3:16. For God so loved the world that, see, that love made him do something, that he gave his only begotten son. So when we walk in love, it's going to be based on an action. Or watch this, our obedience to his voice. So if we're not connected to the Father, if we're not connected to the great revealer, then it's impossible for us to walk in love. Now, the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, has been shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost. So that's a key indicator right there, that the Holy Ghost plays a part in the Father being revealed. So when we walk in love, or watch this, let me say it like this. when we obey God towards others, catch that. When we obey God towards others, that's when others see God in us. And that's when they have a chance to experience God. Why? Because we, the church, has revealed the Father. I hope you're seeing that. Has revealed the Father. And the Holy Spirit, look at what he says in that verse, in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, capital S. In my Bible, it's capital S, which means it's making reference to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in our hearts, the love of God, or God's love. The same love that caused God to give his Son, his only begotten Son, is the same love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Watch this. And we get back to Matthew's. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let me get to it. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Watch what it says. Verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, that are willing to obey him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That capital S again on Spirit, meaning his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So here the Apostle Paul is giving us another key indicator of how important the Holy Spirit is in revealing the Father. If we don't give the Holy Spirit latitude to move in our lives, to move in our thought process, then the Father cannot be revealed. Because it says here that there are things we hadn't seen before, things we hadn't heard before, things we haven't even dreamed about. But it is revealed unto us by God's Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that helps us reveal the Father. So therefore, the church can't go around making things up. That's why it's so dangerous when there's no accountability among the fivefold ministry gift. When there is no accountability amongst the fivefold ministry gift, people start coming up with all kind of revelations on their own, which is dangerous and can lead the church down the wrong path. There are many times that the church has been led down the wrong path. Many people that have started off right in the church, many preachers that start off right, but because of no accountability, they delve off into some other revelation that is not biblically based, not God inspired, and it's not revelation. It is their revelation, not God's revelation. You see it all the time. Nine times out of ten, when you find somebody that is preaching a revelation that they have developed, 9 times out of 10, they have no accountability structure. See, this is why the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist is so important, that we have the spirit of honor among us, and we create a culture of honor so that we can respect each other's giftings and talents, so that if one of us was to go into error, one of the other brethren or sisters can say, hey, no, that's not what the word of God is saying. Or come, let us talk together. Let us sit down and let's ponder this out. Let's do it line upon line and precept upon precept. If it can get outside of the the multitude of counselors, then it can be preached. But when you have somebody that is preaching an off-the-wall revelation and have no accountability. Now, I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about true accountability. Accountability that gives you the freedom to hear the voice of God and gives you the freedom to have to make a mistake and not be condemned in revelation. See, we have to be given. That's why we have to create a culture of honor so that we can be given the opportunity to search for God. Because sometimes when you're searching for God, you might think you have found him, but you didn't find him. And it will take somebody with more experience and have been walking with God longer to tell you, you haven't found God. That ain't God. That ain't him. And we have to, that once again, that's why I said you have to become a living sacrifice. You have to yield your thoughts to God, and you have to get rid of your ego. You get rid of your ego so that you can allow somebody in your life to be able to hold you accountable. So without the accountability, without this governmental structure that the apostolic creates, heresy can take place. False doctrines can come into fruition. And it's important that this structure be in place, because if the first and one of the main purposes of the church is to reveal the Father, we have to be accurate. We have to be accurate. If we're not accurate, then the Father won't be revealed. And if the Father is not being revealed, he shuts down. Watch this. The church operates under the authority of the heavens. It reveals and expresses the one who is in heaven. Come on now, this is what the purpose of the church is. It operates with heavenly resources provided by God in the heavenly realm. So one sign, thank you, Holy Spirit, one sign that you can always look for if a church or an organization is running out of resources to do what God tells them to do, then they're not revealing the Father. Because anytime the Father is being revealed, he will have the resources available to help you reveal him. Come on now. Watch this. The church becomes God's conduit pipe for the transfer of heavenly blessings to the earth. Scripture, Genesis 12 and 3. He said, God told Abraham, I will bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I will bless you. Watch this. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Why? Until all the earth, all the families of the earth are blessed. So the church is the conduit through which the earth becomes blessed. We see it again with Joseph. The Bible says Potiphar's house prospered because Joseph was there. We see Joseph again. A whole country prospered because Joseph was there. Take it. When you're willing to reveal the Father, you will carry an undeniable favor on your life. Glory to God. You will carry an undeniable grace on your life when you're willing to reveal the Father. Not reveal yourself, not reveal your agenda, but reveal the Father and his agenda. You will carry an undeniable favor on your life, an undeniable grace where people that come, where people want to hang around you because great things happen to them when they hang around you. People are going to want to hire you. People are going to want to use your services. Why? Because when they do, good thing. I'll tell you a great example of this happening. Apostle Thompson, and this is stuff I've seen firsthand, carries a grace of God on him, a favor that cannot be denied, because his whole one, his object is to reveal the Father and the Father's agenda. I'll never forget, when we was getting ready to buy the land where we currently have the church on, the first original piece of land that we bought, I think it was 40 acres. And we bought that property, and we were going in to buy another piece of property that was around us. And we was on the top floor of this bank. I had a chance to go. I might have been about 17, 18 years old at the time, and just getting into learning about ministry and different things of that nature. So we went to this bank. We went to the top floor of this bank, and a lot of the gentlemen there were millionaires. They were getting ready. All of us were buying this piece of tract of land, and all of us signing for our part of it. The church had a part. Another developer had a part. It was a major tract of land. And My dad, they said, call Apostle in to my dad to sign, to do his signing. And all the gentlemen were in there. And he said, hold up, Dr. Thompson. Before you sign, I want you to pray. Because the last time you prayed, good things started happening to me. You can carry, when you reveal the Father, watch this, when you reveal the Father and his agenda, you will carry an undeniable grace, an undeniable favor. Catch that now. Catch the connection. When you are willing to reveal the Father, when you talk about revealing the Father, go to John, the 15th chapter. Watch this. When you're talking about revealing the Father, you're actually talking about losing yourself. I am, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, watch this, yet not I, but, just got eliminated, you just got eliminated, but Christ that lives in me. Are you seeing this? Watch this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Even though I'm in the flesh, I still want to reveal the Father. Are you seeing this? John 15 and 7. Watch this. Catch on to that. That's a key point now. That's a secret. When you are willing to reveal the Father, you will carry an undeniable favor on your life. John, the 15th chapter. Let's prove it. John, the 15th chapter, verse 1. Watch this. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Anybody that don't want to reveal the Father, he taketh away. He don't, in other words, God don't deal with them no more, because God can't waste his time with people that don't want to reveal him. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. Oh my goodness. Watch this, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch, listen to this, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus is giving us a key now. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Oh my goodness. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That is favor. That is favor. Why? Because you, watch the verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That's Jesus talking. So Jesus is saying, if we become one, don't worry about nothing else. Just reveal the Father. Stop trying to fit into the system. Just reveal the Father. When you reveal the Father, you will carry an undeniable grace, an undeniable favor that will take you much further than your abilities. It will take you much further than your intelligence. It'll take you much further than your human connections. It'll take you further than your last name can get you. It'll take you further than your frat can take you. It'll take you further than your sorority can take you. When you reveal the Father, any business association that you're a part of, any group, any club that you're a part of, any chamber of commerce that you're a part of, it will take you further than all of that. When you're willing to reveal the Father. We must recognize that we are, watch this. We are the body of the unseen Christ. The church, the people, we are the body of the unseen Christ. Most people don't know anything about Christ until one of us tell them about Christ. They might have heard about Christ, and they might have heard something negative, but Christ cannot be revealed. Remember now, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men unto me. Meaning, if his lifestyle, if his character is being exemplified in our life, he will do the drawing. All we got to do is exemplify. All we got to do is reveal, and he will do the drawing. I hope you're getting this. Watch this. The people who touch, hear, and connect with the church come into contact with the head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is powerful. When you reveal the Father, and whoever comes in contact with you revealing the Father have just come in contact with Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that we must reveal. The Apostle Paul said it best. Go watch this. Go back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Watch what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He said, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now watch what he said in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that's a very strange statement for Paul to say, because for Paul to say he don't want to know anything among us save Jesus Christ and him crucified, Paul wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament, so Paul knew some stuff. But here he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So what that means is, the Apostle Paul's agenda was to reveal the Father. And when he revealed the Father, that's when everything else came. This is why Apostle Paul was able to write, glory to God. This is why the Apostle Paul was able to write over 2/3 of the New Testament, is because his only objective was to reveal the Father. And in revealing the Father, he was in direct connection with revelation knowledge. So that's why the Apostle Paul was able to write. Listen, we talked about this before, how the Apostle Paul, we don't know how to get born again if it was not for the Apostle Paul in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 10. If the Apostle Paul had not wrote that, we'd still be stuck. We literally would be stuck with Jesus and Nicodemus asking the same questions. But here it is, the Apostle Paul laid, structured a doctrine, which is revelation knowledge, is revealed knowledge. He was able to structure that doctrine, this is how you get born again. That you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is out of the mouth of Apostle Paul, the same man who said, I don't know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified, which led to him knowing everything. Go to 1 John, the second chapter. Glory to God. 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. Watch this. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John. 1 John, the second chapter. Watch this. Let me get there. 1 John, the second chapter. And the 20th verse. But ye have an unction, who? From the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's the same thing Apostle Paul is saying. I'm focused only on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Same thing as having an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need that not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it taught you, and ye shall abide, that is again, abide in him. Meaning you're revealing the Father. When you come to reveal the Father, Peter didn't need anyone. Listen now. Peter didn't need anyone to teach him about Jesus, who Jesus Christ was. Why? Because the Holy Spirit revealed to him who Jesus Christ was. When Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? They start naming all the people. He said, who do you say that I am? It was the unction from the Holy One that came upon Peter, and Peter was able to reveal the knowledge of the Father. Listen, as we close tonight, we go to the first purpose of the church is to reveal the Father. We found a secret tonight. When we adhere to the first purpose of the church and reveal the Father, when we make that our sole purpose, I just want to reveal the Father. Listen, I want to reveal the Father to my pastor. I want to reveal the Father to my sisters and my brethren. I want to reveal the Father to my fellow church members. I want to reveal the Father to my co-workers. I want to reveal the Father to my family. I want to reveal the Father to my extended family. I want to reveal the Father to my clients. I want to reveal the Father to my business partners. I want to reveal the Father. I just want to reveal the Father. Let me tell you something. When you get in that position where you want to reveal all you're worried about and concerned about and want to do is reveal the Father, here's a secret. You will walk in a grace, in a favor that is undeniable. Grab that. When you decide that I'm going to become a living sacrifice, yield my thoughts to God, get rid of my ego so that I can reveal the Father, I will walk in a favor that is undeniable.